Good morning. I'm Randy Clausen, pastor with St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church, and this morning for Sunday, May 16th, when we can't be together at the church, I'm recording from my backyard. And just wanted to show you around a little bit as we anticipate the spring season. My garden is waiting to be tilled, and there are plants on the back porch there waiting to be planted. You can see our peach tree is still in bloom, is quite bright there yet. But just to show you around the rest of the yard that we really enjoy, back there is our fire pit when the kids were small, chestnut tree, and a few other things in the back, of course, like everybody else. This morning, just wanted to share with you that continue to minister in various ways during the pandemic, and sharing ministry, of course, with Pastor Nick Sherman and youth worker Taya Himes. Today we're beginning a new worship series, hashtag blessed, which we will explore the world of social media through the lens of the Beatitudes by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. In preparation for that series, you're encouraged to read the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5 to 7. Later, Pastor Nick will share the message with the title, hashtag blessed, in which he's considering what Jesus teaches us about blessedness and the kingdom of God. Just a few announcements. As we continue during the pandemic, Pastor Nick is sharing psalm meditations, and you can contact the church or him by email to get that. And a number of other things happening online this morning. Again, at 10:45, Pastor Nick will be leading a discussion time online. Contact him for the link. At 11:30 this morning, grades 7 to 11 Sunday school gather. Just to let you know, Wednesday, leadership of the church council is meeting again online. Friday, senior youth at 7, and next Sunday at morning at 9:30, grades 3 to 6 Sunday school, ages 3 to 6. For access to many of these, contact the office or youth worker Taya Himes. Just to let you know also, next Sunday, May 23rd, Kojiko TV at 10 a.m. will be hosting our worship service, which will be broadcast, again, Channel 10 on Kojiko TV or HD 700. Typically this time of year, there is a massive undertaking in New Hamburg, Ontario, for the Mennonite Central Committee relief sale. And efforts are again underway, but this year, as last, the relief sale fundraising event will be virtual, and so there will be two virtual auctions happening Friday, May 28th in the evening, and then during the day, Saturday, May 29th. And all kinds of things, vintage items, furniture, gift baskets, much more, and then on Saturday in particular, the handmade quilts. And so that's the New Hamburg relief sale. Check the bulletin for details or simply do a Google search online. And just to let you know, coming up in 2 weeks, Sunday, May 30th, we once again are looking forward to having a drive-in service at the church, in the church parking lot. And again, stay tuned for details about that, but we look forward to seeing each other gathering there, albeit from our vehicles. Once again, church staff continue to work from home, and please feel free to contact us or the church office if you have any need. For our call to worship this morning, there are times when we need assurance that our prayers are being heard. For times like these, we look to God to restore our lives, restore our sense of community, and to renew our faith. Such as the song psalm of Psalm 69. I share with you these verses. I will praise God's name in song and glorify Him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hooves. The poor will see and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts live. The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and all that move in them, for God will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. The people will settle and there possess it. Children of his servants will inherit it, and those who love his name will dwell there. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, we know in our hearts, isolation becomes a form of punishment, even a form of cruel torture. And we have been feeling isolated, isolated from loved ones, isolated from our faith family, and perhaps even isolated from you. We come to you during this time of worship, seeking your touch, seeking your salvation from our loneliness. Restore our lives by your salvation through hope in Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. We appreciate the ministry of music offered by Aaron and Tommy Friesen, and invite you to hear the song 10,000 Reasons. For these days when we long to be together, one of the things we can do is share our prayers together, even though we are apart. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, I've sometimes wondered what Jesus intended when he told his followers to take up their cross and follow him. God, I've sensed that for some people these days, the cross they carry is to lash out against authorities who limit freedoms. For some people, the cross they carry is the burden of not being able to save the dying and the agony of not being able to help those who are suffering. God, give us wisdom to discern those who boast in their pride and to learn from those who serve in humility. God, in the silence of this worship, I name in my heart those who are in need of your comfort, of those who are in need of healing, of those who long for hope to be restored. This morning we also pray for our community leaders. We pray for healthcare workers. We pray for parents and teachers. Students. We pray for farm workers and for the grocery suppliers. May we learn from Jesus' true character of strength for the living of these days. We ask that you be with Pastor Nick as he shares from your word, and for us who receive it, as we look for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Once again, thank you for joining us this morning, and thank you again to Aaron and Tommy for sharing music and the song entitled Oceans.
I will be reading from Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, and Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things, and so they came into being, declares the Lord? These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and who tremble at my word.
So on social media, there's a thing called a hashtag. And I realize with just one sentence, I've maybe lost some of you. So let me try to explain. I'll take it that most of you at least know what social media is. As I know for a fact, there are no few grandparents and great-grandparents on Facebook and Instagram. So on sites like that, people sometimes use this thing called a hashtag. A hashtag is a number sign, which you'll recognize from your keyboard or your phone maybe, whenever it's paired with a phrase or a words. And it's used to tag or identify particular contents related to a particular topic. It's kind of like a file folder label for the internet. And so, for example, if you wanted to go online and share a picture, a nice picture you took of a tree the other day, and you might add the label hashtag nature. Or if you wanted everyone on the internet to see the beautiful masterpiece you painted, you might pin hashtag art to it. And then people can go online and search for a particular hashtag and see all of the posts, pictures, and content related to that label. So for example, if someone wanted to go up and go online and look for pictures of fish, they could type in hashtag aquariums. And so that's what a hashtag is, at least as best I can explain it. And the reason I'm trying to explain it is that there's one particular hashtag that's frequently used that has to do with my reflection today. And that's hashtag blessed. Those of you who are more familiar with social media will know that hashtag blessed shows up a lot, typically when something goes well for someone and they share about it. And so in preparation for this reflection, I went on Twitter, which is another social media site, if you're not familiar with it, and searched for this hashtag, hashtag blessed. I was curious to see what kinds of things people were posting and sharing with that. So here are the some of the things I saw. I saw a man posing in front of his new Audi. Hashtag blessed, he said. I saw a hunter posed behind the wild turkey he bagged with his bow and arrow, which is hashtag blessed for him, I suppose, but not so much for that turkey. I saw pictures of football wins. I saw people who were hashtag blessed with graduations, anniversaries, new pets, and newborn babies. I saw someone post about how much money he had earned investing in Bitcoin, and he proclaimed to everyone that he was hashtag blessed for it. I saw people share photos of vacations, video game high scores, personal workout bests, and new fancy watches. Which is all incredibly fascinating to me because I believe that it says something. I'm aware that there's people who use the hashtag ironically or sarcastically, but if you look it up, you'll see that it's often also used with a kind of sincerity. And I think that says something. It says something that those are the sorts of things that people identify with being blessed. Those are the kinds of lives that people see as being blessed. The lives with the smiling children, the university acceptance letters, the promotions, and the big platefuls of food. And it says something, I think, because if we extended that logic or extended that line of thinking, it means that the people who don't have all of those nice things or don't have all of those nice parts of their lives aren't blessed. So the question that I want for us to wrestle with today is whether that's true. Is that really what it looks like to be blessed? When you search that hashtag, does that show us what it means to be blessed? And I want to propose that isn't a new question at all, but actually an incredibly ancient question that people have been asking for thousands and thousands of years. And a question that Jesus, in fact, spoke directly to when he walked on the earth. And I propose that while it's a question that involves this new digital medium that's surprisingly difficult to explain to anyone who isn't familiar with it, that this hashtag blessed phenomenon really reflects a line of thinking that was just as common in Jesus's day. And this line of thinking that Jesus flips on its head, turns on its head in the Sermon on the Mount. Today we're beginning a new sermon series in which we're exploring this world of social media through the lens of the Beatitudes. And while this series is definitely geared towards younger generations who have connection to internet and some of those sites, our hope is that the teachings and the takeaways here will be general enough that everyone will be able to learn and in some way grow through them. And so we'll be going through the Beatitudes one by one, week by week, and exploring what they meant in Jesus' day when he first taught them, and what they might mean for us in our world today. And before we begin with that first Beatitude, it might be helpful to get a bit of context for what Jesus is talking about here in these verses. We're told that Jesus delivered this mountainside sermon early on in his public ministry. In the verses that come right before the one we heard read, Matthew tells us that Jesus emerged from his time in the wilderness, which many of you will remember, and that he began preaching. Matthew says that he traveled throughout Galilee, teaching in synagogues and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And the gospel writers tell us that large crowds began to assemble wherever he went and whenever he did this, with people clamoring around to see him and to hear him speak. And we're told that the thing that Jesus spoke about most often was the kingdom of God, God's kingdom. In Matthew's gospel, which we'll be looking at for this series, it's usually referred to as the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. And as we hear Jesus teaching about it here in these chapters and verses, we come to understand that the kingdom of God is life under God's rule. And Jesus tells people that this kingdom of God is at hand or near to us. He describes it as this reality that's actively breaking into the world here and now. And this new redemptive reality that people can enter into and participate in. And so it's this exciting and really explosive message that had people in that day coming back to hear more and also had them asking all of these questions. And two of the questions that people would have immediately asked are, who gets to be part of God's kingdom? And what does life look like for those who do? Who gets to be part of God's kingdom? And what does life look like for those who do? And I want to propose that when people ask those questions or thought about them as Jesus taught, most of them would have all of these assumptions about what Jesus would say in response. And most people would have had all of these pictures in their mind about what life in the kingdom looks like and who gets to be part of that. And I want to say that they would have been similar to all of the pictures that filled my computer screen when I searched hashtag blessed. Most people would have assumed that the people who got to enter into God's kingdom would be the put-together, pleasant-looking, and powerful ones. And they would have assumed that a life in God's kingdom would be marked by external well-being and abundance. The kingdom of God would be this reality of health, wealth, success, and happiness. And so knowing all this, Jesus shares these nine Beatitudes, which will be familiar to some of us. Blessed are the poor in spirits. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in hearts. Blessed are the peacemakers. And blessed are the persecuted. Now, it's important to make it clear what Jesus is not saying here. Jesus is not saying that we need to aspire to all of these things in order to be sworn in as kingdom citizens or to maintain good standing as such. What Jesus is saying instead is that through him, entryway into the kingdom of God is open to anyone, including all of the unlikely, unkempt, unattractive, unassuming, unrighteous, unspectacular, and underdog type people. Jesus is saying that God's kingdom is open to the kinds of people that nearly everyone would have assumed would never get in or have a place there. You may remember the old, the paraphrase from the old Simon and Garfunkel song. Blessed are the sat upon, the spat upon, the ratted on. Dallas Willard, in his book, The Divine Conspiracy, translated Jesus' words in the Beatitudes like this. Blessed are the physically repulsive, the flunkouts and dropouts and burnouts, the broke and the broken. Blessed are the drug heads and the divorced, the HIV positive and herpes ridden, the brain damaged and incurably ill, the barren and pregnant too many times or the wrong time, the overemployed, the underemployed, the unemployed, the unemployable. Blessed are the swindled, the shoved aside, the replaced. Jesus tells the hillside masses that the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. They only need repent and to receive it. Through him, the gospel life, the good life according to God, is available to everyone and anyone who would choose to enter in. And that included the most unlikely of people. And one of those unlikely categories of people who are given entrance into God's kingdom, Jesus said, were the poor. Which brings me to the text we're focusing on today, that first of Jesus' Beatitudes, blessed are the poor. Now, scholars are divided when it comes to what Jesus might be referring to here when he talks about the poor. Is he referring to people who have a low economic status within society, or those who embody a kind of spiritual poverty in their lives? What many people believe, and I would say I would be one of them as well, is that both senses can equally apply here. And we see that play out as we follow Jesus on through the Gospels. The kingdom of heaven is available to both the have-nothings and the humble in spirits, both equally unlikely beneficiaries of it from a worldly perspective. Jesus proclaims that God's blessing is extended to both the penniless and the poor in hearts. Blessed are the poor and the poor in spirit, he says. And again, this runs directly against what so many people would have assumed in his day and what many people still assume today. And I believe that in that way, it actually makes for really good news, which is exactly what Jesus said about it as well. Because the reality is most of us aren't living the hashtag blessed life every day in the way that we sometimes see it displayed on social media. On a typical day, most of us aren't test driving sports cars or celebrating champagne birthdays or raking in millions through our cryptocurrency investments or relaxing at oceanfront resorts. And we know that the reality is that the people posting those things aren't either. But our brains play tricks on us, and we know that the algorithms are designed very carefully and accordingly. And so we compare our lives to the hashtag blessed reality that we see in our feeds and can end up becoming dissatisfied about our own existence and discouraged and depressed about ourselves, our lives. So Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is available to the poor. The poor, he says, are able to participate in the gospel life. They can be recipients of God's blessing. Jesus is not saying that poverty is an ideal state for people to be in. Jesus had some incredibly strong words for the wealthy, but he's not saying that we all need to become poor in order to receive God's gift of grace, or it's not a prerequisite for entrance into the kingdom. He also isn't saying that we shouldn't care for the poor or work to bring them out of their poverty in individual and systemic ways. What Jesus is saying instead is that here and now, in this very moment, everyone is able to participate in the good life according to God's, if they hear his invitation and simply choose to follow him. And that includes, he says, those who've defaulted on their mortgages or are regulars at the local money marts. That includes the panhandlers, the pension stretchers, the part-time job jugglers, the credit card accumulators, and the minimum wage workers. All of these people, we might assume, are unblessed. No less blessed by God are they if they enter into this new kingdom reality, Jesus says. God's blessing is available to those whose lives we would never see trending with the hashtag blessed. Blessed are the poor, Jesus says, for theirs is the kingdom. I think for some of us who are familiar with this text, these verses, we can miss how subversive and explosive Jesus' words here are. We can lose that with repetition and familiarity. Jesus is saying that through him, the person who can barely afford rent on their single-bedroom apartments can be given God's entire commonwealth. The Apostle Paul, who knew firsthand what that experience of lack was like, said it like this: though we have nothing, yet we possess everything. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom. Repeatedly throughout the Gospels, Jesus tells people that he's come to proclaim good news to the poor. And again, that's not because their experiences were ideal or that they shouldn't be brought out of poverty, but because he had something truly good to share with them. And we know from what we read there that the poor were often among the most open to responding to him and signing up for this new and coming kingdom. Because those experiencing poverty can clearly identify with a sense of need in a way that others might not be able to. They're already used to this experience of seeking help and receiving assistance from others. They're often less concerned with pride and posturing in the way that others can be. Jesus in the gospel said that it's hard for the rich to enter into the kingdom. Harder than trying to thread a 2-meter-tall mammal through your grandmother's sewing machine. But the poor, he said, having little materially, are uniquely able to look to God and receive much spiritually. We know this even about our world still today. And this brings me back to that second sense that Jesus is talking about here, about God's kingdom being extended to those who are poor in spirits. Part of the irony of hashtag blessed is that it often functions in the exact opposite way. It's often used as a kind of socially acceptable way of showing off on the part of the privileged. Again, if you're familiar with social media, you might recognize this. In a tongue-in-cheek editorial published in the New York Times, writer Jessica Bennett said it like this: there's nothing quite like invoking holiness as a way to brag about your life. But calling something hashtag blessed online has become a go-to term for those who want to boast about an accomplishment while pretending to be humble. Fish for a compliment, acknowledge a success without sounding too conceited, or purposely elicit envy. The poor in spirits, by contrast, are those who are humble and contrite in spirits, as we heard in our second reading today from the prophet Isaiah. The poor in spirit are often referred to as those who are deeply in touch with their own inner spiritual bankruptcy, their own inner needs. They're unpretentious. They're not proud. They don't hold up their accomplishments or all their hard work. They don't look down their noses at others. The poor in spirit care little about maintaining appearances. They often walk through the world wounded. They're usually overlooked and passed by. And as such, those who are poor in spirits rarely make it to the upper tiers of the kingdoms of this earth, the earthly kingdoms. We know this. And so when people first heard Jesus talking about this new kingdom that was coming into the world, they would have assumed that the poor in spirits would have been at the very bottom of the list in terms of who would be included and who would have a place there. People wouldn't have thought that they would have been among those considered blessed by God in this new reality. That's exactly what Jesus says they are through him. If you have a computer or tablet or smartphone, which I'm assuming you do if you're watching this, I'd invite you to look up hashtag blessed after this. Just a little exercise. You could even pause this even and do that. And see what comes up. And then ask that question that I asked at the start. Is that really what it looks like to be blessed? Is that really what it means to be blessed by God, to have God's blessing? Or if you don't have those technologies or can't quite figure out how to do that, try and listen for the ways that people talk about blessings and blessedness in day-to-day conversation. Pay attention to the way that you use those words personally. And then ask yourselves what those things say about your understanding of blessing and blessedness, and who is blessed by God and who isn't. And then ask yourself whether Jesus might be challenging us to think and act differently here in the Beatitudes. Jesus declared that the kingdom of heaven was accessible to anyone who would listen and lay down their lives and journey there with him. Which means that you don't have to have the good life according to Facebook to participate in the good life according to God's. You don't need to post the best and brightest parts of your life to get there. And you don't need all that grass is greener parts of life that others are posting to get there either. You don't need all of those things and all of those circumstances to have a place within the kingdom of God, to be welcomed into the kingdom of God. Through Jesus, God's blessing is available to the unlikeliest of people and in the unlikeliest of circumstances. And not only those kinds of lives that we might call hashtag blessed. Amen. Thank you once again for joining us today, and thank you again to each person who helped out with our service, including those who helped edit it and put it online. I share these words of blessing as we go from this time. They come to us from Ephesians 1 verse 3. Now praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. May you go in peace, and may you go from this time knowing that you are blessed.